Carla Willis Brandon with us as we talk about Contact from the Afterlife. We'll take your calls and stories when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back, Carla. Let's wrap up with Dreamtime Premonitions, and we'll go to some of the calls here. It's a very powerful way for people to tap into the other side, isn't it?
Oh, man, I think that anybody can do it. It takes very little effort. If I am really upset about a passing of somebody that I care about, what I will do, I'll do very simple things. What I will do is I will take out a photograph of that individual, and I'll look at that picture before I go to bed, and then I'll close my eyes and have that picture in my mind's eye, and then I'll have that person walk out of that photograph. And what I will say is, I need for you to come visit me in my dreams tonight. And if I do that for a couple of weeks, eventually I'm going to make some sort of contact. And so the thing about that is that those experiences, when we make that contact with the afterlife, those experiences, they imprint on us. Whereas our day-to-day dreams, they kind of float in and they float out. But if we have a premonition, or if we make contact with somebody on the other side, those stick with us. And they're very different than trauma dreams or PTSD dreams, where we have death and dying. The texture of the dream is different. These experiences, they energize us and they comfort us. And there's this sense of connectedness. And we find ourselves continuing the conversation during the daylight hours with the individual we've made contact with. So it's an exercise that's very, very simple to do. Sometimes these encounters are spontaneous. I've had several that are very spontaneous. And also with a little effort, with just having a photograph or even just a visualization of the person in my mind's eye as I remember them, that can also work too. So, oh, definitely, most definitely.
All right, let's take a couple calls or two here for you, and then I got some more questions, and then calls for the rest of the hour. Mary, Cleveland, Ohio, welcome to the program. I'll be out there sometime, I think, in September at a major event. Hi, Mary.
Hello, George. Thank you for taking my call. Sure, I love the call screener, by the way.
He's a good guy.
Yeah. Okay, I have a story real quick, and then I'm going to ask a question.
Okay.
My sister died at age 45 from brain cancer. And then last year, my husband died at 56 from a heart attack. And at his wake, there was a young lady that came. She was a granddaughter of a friend of mine. And she came up to me and said, "I see spirits." And right away, I thought of Marianne Winkowski, who's from Edina, Ohio.
Yep, she's right out your way.
Yeah, I took the girl in the other room, and I had a conversation with my husband. And I said, "I want you to find my sister." And then I continued to talk with him, and I knew that it was him that I was conversing with. Just recently, a couple weeks ago, I ran into the same young lady again, and I said, "Hey, you know," I talked to her, and she said, "Your husband's been with you all day. He's standing right behind you." And I said, "Oh my gosh." I said, "Have you found my sister?" And he said, "No." And then I said, "What about your parents?" He says, "Yes, I found my parents." I said, "What about my parents?" "Yes, I found your parents. They're doing great. They're looking out for you." So my question is, you know, I had a long conversation, and I knew it was him again. I knew it was him. And I'm a very strong Catholic. I believe in God, and I feel sorry for the atheist. But my question is, you know, I never questioned him, "Where the hell is my sister? And how come he couldn't find her?" And that is basically my question to your caller. I mean, what does she think? You know, where is my sister? How come he couldn't find her? And, you know, it was a quick thing when I found this girl, and I didn't have time to question her further. I mean, I went to work. I found her at work. Excuse me. And I didn't expect to talk to my husband when I went to work that day. So my basic question is, where do you think my sister is? I know she crossed over and she liked my husband. She would have completely been there to welcome him. And he couldn't find her. So do you think she's reincarnated? Or, I mean, I don't know. I don't understand how come he couldn't find her.
Well, can you help on that one, Carla?
Sure. For years after my mother passed, I couldn't make contact with her no matter what I did. The best mediums I went to see, I could not make contact with her, period. And it wasn't until last year at Lilydale, New York, home of the spiritualist movement, that I was able to begin to make some contact with her. And it has to do with her journey, what it is she needed to do once she got to the other side. And so I know that mediums get very, very frustrated when they're with a grieving client who really wants to make contact with a particular individual, and that individual doesn't come through. And like my mother, I think that sometimes people have, they get to the other side, they've got things to do, the journey continues. It's kind of like that long-lost cousin that all of a sudden pops up, and everybody wonders where that cousin has been. That I don't think it has to do with a lack of love or care. I think that, you know, like I said before, we take ourselves to the other side. And so I would practice some of the techniques that I suggested or other guests of Coast to Coast have suggested, and just be tenacious, and maybe eventually you will make some contact. I can't tell you about the accounts that I have received from people who are so mad because the person they wanted to show up to take them to the other side didn't show up. Somebody else showed up, and they weren't happy. So I don't think this is all cut in stone.
No, not at all. Let's go to Dennis in Philadelphia. Hey, Dennis, you're on with Carla. Go ahead.
Morning, folks. Hi. Let's see. Okay, when I was with my mom, when she was going through the dying process, I was in the room with her, and I saw her head as it was turning from left to right. And she had said, "Who is this old woman in my room?" And she was watching this woman walk across the room. Well, right after that, then I think about a week later, 2 weeks later, she passed. And as I was sitting there on the living room sofa, there was this strong, extremely strong scent. It smelled like the old Gina Tay perfume that was on that one side of the couch where she always sat, and I was sitting. Well, I took that as a sign that was my mom. Well, then when we went to my relative's house, we were sitting in the yard having a barbecue, and I was telling them about this. Well, all at once, here comes that smell in the yard again, that scent in the yard again, and they were the first ones to notice it, not me. I did not ask them, do you smell this? They smelled it first, and it was permeating the yard exactly where I was sitting at. Then I started doing EVPs, and I think, George, I sent you one of the EVPs. I don't know if you received it or not. But the two EVPs that I did not save, my PC crashed. This is when I stopped doing EVPs because I didn't know what was going on then. I did an EVP, and my aunt was here. This was before my aunt passed. And we were asking, it was my mom's birthday, and I asked, she was asking, Ann, are you happy where you're at? And, well, the EVP we got was a woman chuckling, and it said, I'm very happy, Rose. Well, my mom never called my aunt Rose. She always called her Ro. Then the last EVP we did, we started getting this methodical, rhythmic, slow, loud scratching on the ceiling. And I said to myself, am I summoning something that I do not want to summon? Basically, am I opening the door that's allowing other things to come through by trying to contact my mom?
What do you think of that, Carla?
Well, I think that to begin with, Gina Tay, that's not like your everyday average cologne.
That's
a 20-30-year-old cologne. And you were outside unless one of your guy buddies was, you know, deciding to try it out or something. Basically, scents are often identifiers. So when I moved into this house, the female owner of the house paid us a short visit, and there was a rose scent. And I don't use rose perfume. We have no roses. So scents can be big identifiers. Now, sometimes people who are getting ready to pass, they won't initially recognize the person who has come to take them. And so they will talk about the man sitting in the chair, or the woman in white, or the woman who has the the gray-blue hair. Sometimes after the fact, we'll get information and we will find out that this is somebody who is identifiable, either a friend or a family person, from a photograph that maybe somebody else in the family has or a friend has or through conversation. Now, as far as opening that door, I can't express this enough. I said it before. If a bully approaches me in the material world, I'm going to do what I need to do to take care of myself. And the same goes for the spirit world. I'm going to protect myself, and I'm going to do specific things to take care of myself. And if I feel like it might be an unmanageable situation, well, then I don't need to be messing with it. I probably need to shut it down. I need to wrap myself in some white light or do something that can counter that. And that would be something specific that you would have to figure out for yourself. But there definitely are going to be spirits roaming around who haven't taken care of their own business here. They haven't cleaned up their lives, healed from their losses, made amends for their transgressions, and so they're stuck. They haven't even made it to the other side to get to the healers who can help them work through that stuff. So as with a bully in the material, I'm going to take care of myself with a bully in the spirit.
Carla, do you really think there is a heaven?
I think that there are so many dimensions. I know people try to quantify this. I think that there are... I can't even begin to discuss that intellectually. I know I've had my experiences, and I think I've just touched the tip of the iceberg. I know that I have collected accounts and had experiences that were very similar in nature, groups of people in lines, meeting in rooms with white walls, people of light. There are some consistent things with regard to reports of, quote, heaven or the afterlife, different dimensions. I think that's another area of the afterlife that is so big that we're not going to totally and completely get the full answer. What we can do for ourselves is we can do a sort of guided imagery for ourselves. We can lay down on a bed or someplace comfortable, and we can visualize ourselves leaving the body and traveling to greet our loved ones. And then what we can do is we can take a moment to look around our environment and see what we can see. So what my cousin saw as he traveled with his wife as she was passing is he saw her deceased relatives, and they were light, and there were a lot of pastel colors, and it was joyous, and it was refreshing, and it was comforting, and it was exciting, and as I said, the journey continued. It wasn't the end, and we just go sit on a cloud somewhere. So for anybody who's interested in getting a taste of what the afterlife will be like, go ahead and try that little exercise.
All right. We have Michelle in Anchorage, Alaska now. Michelle, welcome to the program.
Hi. Thank you very much for taking my call. I just had a quick story. I was born in 1963, and when I was in high school, I met my husband. We married in 1980, and we ended up having four children. Well, eventually, we got divorced in 1995. I was having a bit of a difficult time in 1996, and I had called a psychic kind of to get direction in my life, to see where I needed to go. And in speaking with her, she says, "Well, Michelle, has your dad died?" And I said, "Well, yes, he has." And she says, "Well, he's here." "Oh, excuse me, really?" She says, "Yes, he is." And she goes, "Oh, no, now, wait a minute, he's gone." She continued on with the reading for a couple of minutes, and then she says, "Michelle, he's back, and he's really strong. He has a message for you." "Okay, thank you. What is it?" She said, "Your dad wants you to know that if you had stayed with your husband, he would have killed you. That you're living your life the way that you're supposed to be living it, that everything that happens in your life is all a part of God's grand plan, the grand scheme of things." And that right there sent reassurance to me that there is life after death. My dad still watches over me.
That's the way to do it.
Well, most definitely. I mean, our loved ones on the other side, they don't just abandon us.
Let's hope not.
No, mother's still mother. Accounts where mothers have been at the they have visually manifested at the bedside of women who are birthing babies. I mean, relatives who have shown up, friends who have shown up, they have manifested, or they have come through dreams and they have provided information, or they have provided encouragement, or let us know that they are there. Here's the deal. In life, we're going to have hard times. We're going to have hard times. The challenge is to learn how to ask for help and do the work we need to do to work through them and to be as successful at it as we can. And our relatives and our friends on the other side can be a part of that process. So I can't tell you how many times I have been in dire straits, and I will just start talking to somebody on the other side. And I believe that these folks do come through. If I am really having a rough time, what I do is I start cooking that old heavy ethnic Russian food. And I can feel my grandmother there in that kitchen with me. And I can feel the warmth of her. She was my nurturer after my mother passed away. Or I will have some of these other experiences where all of a sudden something will happen for me that's not a coincidence. So what we need to do is we need to pay attention. So your last caller, she got a pretty powerful message there. I don't know how I would have reacted, but that's fairly powerful. So, you know, we are all connected. It doesn't matter if we're here or if we're in some other dimension. I mean, that's the whole goal, is to understand that we don't have to do this thing by ourselves, that we can reach out for help in the material and we can reach out for help in the afterlife.
We have time for a quick call from Glenn in San Antonio, Texas. Glenn, go ahead.
Hey, hello, George. This is great. I got through so easily.
Sure thing. And if we hit the break, I'll hold you over. Okay, go ahead, Glenn.
Okay. My experience with the white light, I had an NDE, multiple surgeries, a lot of time in the hospital. And I took the time to look really closely into the white light. And I can explain it as maybe a revolving door with all the images of possibilities that we can just make any decision at this moment to go in left or right, up or down. Every thought we make changes our reality. So the white light, if you look closely, are all the possible paths that you can go down with your decisions in this moment.
Well, I agree with that.
Almost definitely. I mean, here in the material, if I want to change my living room, it's going to take me some time to get the job done. And if I want to make a decision to change an aspect of my life, it's going to be like walking through cement. But in the afterlife, what I have gathered from people like yourself who have had near-death experiences is that it's at the drop of a dime. You can change your reality. That's your choice.
We're coming back. We're going to take final phone calls with you in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. On our next Coast to Coast program, Rosemary Ellen Guiley joins us with her paranormal investigations, followed by Open Lines on Coast to Coast AM. And let's come back with your final stories with Carla Willis Brandon. And, of course, her website linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Carla Willis Brandon with us. We'll take your calls. Carla, have the skeptics ever come out at you?
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm not immune. And at first it used to really upset me because I just couldn't understand why these individuals would come in and without researching or taking a look at some of the accounts, so many of the accounts that so many people across the globe have shared about afterlife contact, why they would be so bent on saying some of the things that they say. I mean, I've been on television programs with them, and I've had them come after me for some of the things that have been said in my books that are devoted to these topics. And I used to get so rattled, I would get angry. And what I had to recognize was that this is their journey, and that I'm not going to argue them into being more open-minded, that this is something that they will need to figure out for themselves. I still do get a little upset when there are seekers who really, really, really do want to know. I mean, something has happened in their life and they suddenly are are open and they're interested in it, and then they see some hardcore skeptic on television, dismiss, dismiss, dismiss. And I oftentimes they'll come into my office, they'll look very, very confused, and we have interesting sessions. So, yes.
All right, let's take the final calls for you. We go to St. Paul, Minnesota. Hello, William. Take it away.
Hi, George.
Hey.
This is William.
Yep.
I'm really looking forward to seeing my father. He passed away 8 years ago on Christmas Eve, and it just I missed the heck out of him. But I'm also looking forward to seeing other relatives that I've never known. You know, my grandfather, my great-grandfather and grandmother, and also my grandmother's and my other grandfather. But it just, I mean, Rosemary, it's just, how do you go about this, trying to hook up?
Well, you can do it in the material. I mean, you can do it now. It sounds like your bond with your father is incredibly strong. And so if you can get yourself in a quiet place and go through photographs of him and start talking and have conversation as you review those photographs and talk about some of the fun things that you guys did together, the hobbies that you did together, the challenges that you survived, the life experiences. And then before you go to bed, look at a couple of those photographs and then close your eyes and visualize him and just ask him to come to you in your dreams. But I bet you something that he's always around you. I would just bet money on it that he's there, but it involves getting quiet. It involves getting quiet, and it involves taking the time, because it does take some time to reestablish that connection so that you can feel the connection. He already most likely feels the connection, but now it's time for you to do a little bit of work so that you can feel the connection. I think that that can easily happen for you.
Okay, thanks for that. You know, and not every entity is going to make contact. Carla?
No, not always. But, and I discussed this earlier, I truly believe that my mother had work to do and healing to do before it was time for her to make contact with me. Initially, I had a ton of work to do. I had to get off all the booze and the pills because there was no way I was going to be able to make contact as long as I was anesthetized. So I needed to work on a lot of my feelings about some of the things that had happened in my youth. And in doing that, it cleared the path for me to be able to initiate contact with her. And eventually, I think what has happened for us is that I've always journaled to her. I think what has happened for us now is that we have a clearer connection. With some relatives, it's very clear. It's very easy. With others, I have a hard time. I still have a hard time. But, you know, it's a two-way street. I don't know what it is that they're healing from or working on or going through in the afterlife or in the next dimension. It's not always about me.
Our sensitive Hans King would always talk about spirit guides that are there to assist people. Who are the spirit guides?
Well, I think that all of us, my mentor, my spiritual mentor, continues to tell me that I have a herd of guides that help me with all aspects of my life. I'm familiar with probably a handful, and I can make conscious contact with them. But I think all of us do have spirit guides that are there for us. And it's once again taking that time to sit and meditate and to try to make some contact. We can also, some people like to draw their spirit guides. Other people, what they do is they, like I said, they will just chatter with their spirit guides. They, if they're having a difficulty in their life, they will ask for help. They'll ask for guidance, and they will ask for clarity of thought. And they will ask to be more aware of those signs, those coincidences, as opposed to being so wrapped up in those things that aren't absolutely necessary, that we shouldn't be giving so much of our attention to. So, you know, I'm a strong believer in that. I think that I really do, for me, deceased relatives, friends, and loved ones are going to come, and they're going to haul me to the other side. Some people talk about having connections with angels, with spiritual deities and with guides. Some people have talked about angels coming to take them to the other side. And as William Barrett put it so succinctly, when he was watching, his wife was watching one of her patients make that journey to the other side, the angels didn't have wings. So Kubler-Ross said that the individuals that we need to be there when it's ready for us to make that journey, they'll be there for us.
Guaranteed. Let's go to Ed in New Hampshire, first-time caller. Ed, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Yes, thanks, George. Carla, I've always had one problem, and I guess you could call me a skeptic, because I always detect a lack of definitiveness in the message that comes across. The most important things that we would like to know as humans, that always seems to be, you know, a whisper away, is, you know, is there a God? Is Jesus real? Is the Bible definitive? Why are those questions never answered by anyone?
Well, I think that for some individuals, those questions have been answered. For someone like myself, maybe it isn't good for me to have all of the answers. Maybe that'll interfere with my growth process. So since I'm not capable of seeing the big picture, what I can tell you is that there are those individuals who do receive definitive answers. For me, I have received some definitive answers, but not nearly as many as somebody else who may be more dedicated personally to taking the time to seeking those answers. Or maybe that's their journey. That's part of their journey, and that's part of their calling. So I'm so sorry, but I can't give you a succinct answer to that question. But it sounds like that's a good topic to meditate on. I went through this whole thing about why do some people have to suffer so terribly, and why does it appear that others don't? And that plagued me forever, and it was a very serious spiritual journey for me. And I had to take a lot of personal time, and I had to do an awful lot of meditation, and I had to make some connections with those that were there for me in the afterlife before I was able to. I today have an answer for me. So as I said, I'm sorry I can't give you a succinct answer, but that's a question of meditation.
Well, it sure is. Jackie is in Aberdeen, Washington. Welcome to the program. Hi, Jackie.
Hi, George. I've been a long-time listener, first-time caller.
Oh, thank you.
And, yeah, ever since Art Bell and since 1990. But what I wanted to ask Carla about was a lot of people that have near-death experiences explain about a white light that they see in a tunnel that they travel through. And I had an experience in July of 2007 where I've been under a lot of stress, and I had one of my fainting spells, and I passed out in a friend's apartment, and I was kind of fall down like an elevator. And when I did, then I landed on a hard floor and hit my head. And I don't remember other than just I was blacking out, and then I was somewhere else. I don't remember hitting the floor, hurting nothing. I was just all of a sudden in another realm with people that I knew, I suppose. But now I wasn't allowed to remember who any of these people are, and that stresses me there, because I don't know why I wasn't allowed to remember who they were. But it was just all golden sunshine and warm, and it was like there was no time there, like there had never been now, like in this world now. It's like that's all there had ever been, and everybody was just so happy. And then it was like, I don't remember this tall entity coming in exactly, but I remember them being led out of that group of people and further away from the sunshine and the warmth, and asking this individual why. And they were really tall, and they seemed like everybody was like in robes or kind of like that type of outfit. And I can't remember anyone's faces, not this person either. He was very tall and slender-like, and he seems the only one that seemed really masculine. He seemed more masculine to me. And I couldn't say it was an angel. I couldn't say it was Jesus. He didn't have wings. But he walked me out to the edge where it got grayer and grayer and grayer. And I'm asking him why I can't stay. And he just says to me, but you have a daughter, Camille. And then he says, and what about your mother? And just like that, it all flooded back to me. There was another reality. It hit me like a ton of bricks, and I just couldn't believe it. Because up until then, I didn't know what a mother was. I didn't know what a daughter was. I didn't even know what that was. And I said, oh, well, I won't say it. It starts with an S and ends with a T. I can't believe I would say that to an angel or entity, but it was just, that's what I said. Oh, and I fell right back through the clouds. It seemed like the grayness, because that's all I could see at the edge, was just grayness until that happened. And immediately then I was just back in my body. It's not like I went through a tunnel or any light again. I was just back in my body, and I could feel the pain, and I wasn't happy being there. And I don't know why. I don't know. I just wonder if anybody else has those experiences.
What does that sound like to you, Carla?
Well, my husband had an experience just like that. Exactly.
Hmm.
He had an accident.
Without the four-letter words.
And he is going to kill me for sharing this. But he ended up in a different realm, and he was looking for familiars. He was looking for relatives and friends, and then he just came back. And he's not the only one who has had an encounter like that. Not everybody goes through the tunnel. Not everybody has the experience of seeing their body laying beneath them. There are near-death experience researchers who actually have a scale. And some people do go through the tunnel. Some people do go to the light. And then some people just find themselves in a different realm. People who have after-death communications or who have you can have experiences like this in a dream when you make contact with the afterlife. And the descriptions, what's so amazing is the descriptions are very similar, a lot of white light, warmth. They can't tell if it's God, Jesus, a guide. Oftentimes the entities are described as golden and tall and robed. And so there's a lot of consistency in what your guest just described. And so she's not unique, and she needs to take comfort in that and maybe do a search, maybe a Google search, look into some of the books on near-death experiences so that she can see that her type of near-death experience is very, very common.
Isn't your research now expanding way beyond what you initially started doing?
Oh, it's out the door, George. So, you know, what's so interesting is that after-death communications, near-death experiences, departing visions, premonitions, they're all the same stuff. I know that initially a lot of us, what we wanted to do was separate them out. But essentially, you can find a lot of the characteristics in a departing vision is just a near-death experience with completion. An after-death communication is just a departing vision that hasn't gotten that far. So what we're discovering is that, well, people like myself are discovering is that it is getting more difficult. You know, we're all connected. There isn't that big boundary that we think we have between one another, that we really are all connected. There is this web, this universal interdimensional web that connects us all. And these experiences, these afterlife encounters are showing us that they're really made of the same stuff. They all have characteristics in similar.
We might have time to get Ryan in really fast. Go ahead, Ryan.
Oh, hi, George.
Hi there.
Nice to talk to you.
Oh, yeah.
I have these kind of strange experiences where I'm in a between sleep and awake state, and it's like I'm paralyzed. I can't see anything, and I can't move my body, but it seems like there's some entity or person running around the room, up and down the stairs, coming and slamming doors,
huh,
and like joking and laughing in my face, and they're messing with me, and there's nothing I can do about it, and I'm just totally paralyzed for a few moments.
That is the perfect case of the old hag syndrome. Ryan, let me ask you, is it like an old lady?
I don't know who it is.
Okay.
It just seems, I can't tell it like masculinity or femininity. I don't know who it is.
Carla, only about 30 seconds left. Sounds like the old hag syndrome, doesn't it?
It sure does, but also it's called the hypnagogic state, and we're twilight. We're at the crossover between this world and the next. And so that is the time when a lot of people will make contact with the afterlife. And as I said before, you have bullies, and then you have those individuals that care about us and love us.
You got it. Carla, thank you so much. Keep in touch with your work and some of the projects you're up to, okay?
Thank you so much, George. It was a real pleasure.
Carla Willis Brandon, website, of course, coasttocoastam.com. Spend some time every day going to that website. coasttocoastam.com and take a look at some of the guests coming up that night, some of the stories of Webmaster Lex posts. You'll really enjoy it. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesour, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, George Knapp, Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe.